This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Celebrating the special relationship between our countries, we are PTBN's special relations. Ooh. I'm Callum McDougall. You may recognise my voice from that one episode of Main Event that I was on, and I came fourth in the PTB trivia contest by the skin of my teeth. It was unbelievable how I got that far. Joining me tonight is the PTB Bruiserweight, Ben Locke. How you doing, Ben?
Hi, Callum. How we doing?
Not too bad. And we've got a very familiar voice from somebody who is a podcast legend in these shores. You will have heard them from Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast. And we've got Rory McNamara. Rory, how are you?
Hail fellow, well met. Hi, everybody.
So this is a new show, obviously. You won't have heard our voices much before. Just an introduction to the podcast as we're going to go forward. Just introduce ourselves as people, as your comrades from across the sea. Maybe not say comrades, if you know people are listening, they might try and hack into a tournament we're doing, I don't know. then run through a couple of things happening this weekend, run through the sitcom tournament, and then we've got a special live watch for you at the end, just to sort of get our feet under the table here at Place to Be Nation. So we'll start off with yourself, Ben. Tell us a bit about yourself, your wrestling fandom. How did you get into PTBN?
Okay, so my wrestling fandom started, I would say, in about 1990. Basically, my mum had a best mate, and we'd always go round to her house every half term. And her son was similar age to myself, and we'd always watch wrestling videos. Dated myself a bit there. So the very first video I remember watching was WrestleMania 6, and I was hooked from that moment on. So the Ultimate Challenge was amazing. I would say I was a hardcore fan all through the 90s, probably to 2005. Fell in love. We moved in together. We didn't have Sky, sadly. So, yeah, 2005 to 2010 is a bit of a grey area. I picked back up for the Rumble and WrestleMania of 2010. And then 2011 hit, the pipe bomb. And that was, I was back in the game after the pipe bomb and Money in the Bank. And from there, from today, where I picked PTBN up from, I would say, was probably from Scott Keith. I think he was going to be a guest on one of the shows, if I remember rightly. And I listened, I loved it, and I just carried on listening ever since then. So that would have been about 2016, 17, something like that.
Brilliant. I think 2005 to 2010 is a bit of a great period for anybody. Through choice or not, it was just a bit.
It wasn't just the Benoit thing. That was something. Obviously, that was a major factor. But like I say, it was just the general malaise of the product there. And then the fact that I was growing a bit older, you know, met a girl, and we just didn't have the programming at that stage to watch it.
No. Good stuff. Rory, what about yourself?
Just before we start there, Ben, well done for dropping in our first Vincism of the show by getting "and then from there" in nice and early.
I have never done this before. So if I start rambling like an idiot, that will be why, because I don't know how to compress my sentences yet. Hopefully that will come.
But those words not those words notwithstanding, let me tell you a bit about myself. Rory McNamara.
Go for it.
I am Rory McNamara. You may well have heard me on the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, which I will tell you a bit more about later on. My wrestling fandom began in 1996 at the age of 13, which for pre-attitude is quite late, really, when you think about it. I had a friend of mine who had a PlayStation at the time. I just had a Sega Saturn. He had a PlayStation. You know, Destruction Derby, Ridge Racer, Tekken. How could I compete with that? So I'd go around his house every Thursday, Friday to, you know, to play this proper, real bona fide super duper gaming system. And he would often have Mania with Poor Sod or something like that on at the time. But I would always try to get round, this is absolutely true, I'd always try to get round his house a bit later so I didn't have to watch that stupid wrestling stuff. Absolutely true. But I got my timings wrong one day and I got round there a bit early. And I always remember what the match was. It was one which they just talked about on the Wrestling War Zone. It was on Raw early February, 1-2-3 Kid against Hakushi. I actually saw this and I thought, you know what, this wrestling thing is actually quite sort of decent, really. But I didn't really think a whole lot more about it until just after WrestleMania 12, where for some reason I just flicked onto Sky Sports again one day, saw Diesel knocking out Shawn Michaels with the belt, and for some reason that really spoke to me. And I've been a fan ever since. First pay-per-view I remember seeing was King of the Ring 96. Not the worst way to start, fairly important, you might say. First pay-per-view I remember watching completely live, SummerSlam 96. I even did a whole list of predictions. I predicted a Vader victory, so we'll gloss over that one. Hey, I was right twice with a Vader win, but you know what I mean. No real major fallow periods in my watching. 03, 04 is a bit of a blur. And actually, 2011, I didn't really experience live. Slap myself on the wrist for that one, but I've since caught up. But yes, still at it now for my sins, and I might as well mention it now, the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast. Find us wherever you find podcasts. Me and my team, we go back in the time machine to exactly 20 years ago, looking at WCW, ECW, and that thing called WWF, strictly in time machine mode. We don't jump ahead. We pretend we are there at the time. All the news, all the reviews, all the pay-per-views. Check us out, please. We've been going for 6 years, and we're going to go on for a long, long time yet, we hope.
You are just going to come in with some absolute brilliant stuff coming up. Especially the greatest WCW champion of all time in 6 months.
Mr. Arquette is on his way. Yes.
Yay!
We're recording our November 99 WCW show in about a week after you hear this. I haven't started watching any of the Nitros yet, so go figure.
I'm actually just at No Mercy 99, so I'm sort of following along with you guys subconsciously, I think.
You mean you don't listen, Ben? We'll move on.
Just one thing. You mentioned there you saw an episode of Mania. So does that mean that you saw Todd Pettengill and thought, I want to keep watching this?
you were listening far too closely there, Callum, weren't you? My hands are up. Hands are up.
You couldn't even use Stephanie Wyand as an excuse anymore.
Stephanie Wyand.
Missed her by a few months, sadly.
My fandom started in 2001, probably full time. After my friends were all into it, and then I pestered my dad on and on to tape it. So it was on Sky Sports 1, back in the good old days where you could get it for free, all the pay per views. the first one he managed to tape for me was No Way Out 2001.
Not a bad start.
It was not a bad start, but you go from No Mercy 2001 to WrestleMania 17, and still, in my opinion, the best one they ever did. It's all downhill from there. It's never get better than that. So
01 was a bit ropey after that. Backlash and Judgment Day were crap, and then Invasion time.
So, like, to you, you were getting in at 1990, 96, just as it, like, you came in when it was bad, and it got good. I came in when it got good. And it got rotten.
split, baby.
Brad split was all right. And then, diminishing returns, is that what they call it?
Yep.
PTBN fandom, I found the guys through the Graham Cawthorn site, historywwe.com. Randomly put on the show, one of the In Your Houses, they had They had a guest on. I cannot remember which one it was. It was in New England somewhere. But being an anal sort of completionist, I wanted to go right back to the very start. I spent about 18 months going from episode one all the way through, and I caught up about 2 years ago, and that's me being that's been me. So I've started going back now.
I think the last one I heard was, I'm up to the Stevie Richard interview, so about 50 episodes in now.
Yep. I should just say, really, instead of just plugging my own podcast, I should really talk about my own Place to Be Nation discovery, really, shouldn't I? I just can't help myself. Yeah, it was right about the same time.
You narcissist.
The first 7 minutes, yeah. I'll do another podcast. I'll just do this for spare time. Don't forget about it this, are they? I came across Place to Be Nation also at the summer of 2016. It was also on by Scott Key via the Blog of Doom, if memory serves.
Yes, same here.
I think that's at the time they were talking about the Greatest Wrestler Ever project. I think that was that year, 2016. I know the WWE one was the next year. But I think that's what they were talking about. And
one that was on PWO.
Yes, it was. And then did a bit of investigation to who or what Place to Be Nation was. So I had a podcast thingy going on, and I listened to the most recent one, which was most of the time. It was when they were doing their 2006-2007 year review, if you remember that one, doing the pay-per-views and then incrementally totting up the best matches, etc. I remember they spent most of the time talking about this, obviously Scott and Justin, discussing their disdain for the crowd at SummerSlam 2016, coupling with their for crowd's disdain for the colour of the Universal title belt, if you remember that one.
Oh, I do, yeah.
And then that's between Seth and the boy Finn. And I thought, with crowd and audience denigration like that, how could I not listen further? And I've been hooked ever since. I've also been making some of my third foray back through the archives. I was listening to this very morning the Royal Rumble Listermania from January 2012.
The WrestleMania Listermanias and the SummerSlam ones are really good.
We all love Place to Be Nation. If you're listening.
Yeah, I must say, when I said it was a slog to get through, I didn't mean it badly. It was just, it took me a long time. But it got me through so many car rides, it was unbelievable. Got me through studying, it's got me through a lot of stuff, and I'm forever grateful to the boys for starting it, and then everyone else that's come along the way.
I think I just need to big thank Tim Capel as well, because he was the reason I got invited onto the chat group and all that. So he was just plugging at the talking WCW about Rick Rude, and we were waxing lyrical about the Rick Rude theme tune, and it just went from there basically. And here we are today.
So I'll write that down. It's Tim Capel's fault. I'll be messaging him about that.
It's all Capel's fault, and then Jennifer Smith seemed to like me, and it's all gone downhill from there, basically.
Oh, that's it now.
And here we are.
And here we are. I should say, really, we kind of invited ourselves onto this show, didn't we, guys? We thought, okay, the time has come now.
Well, you say that, but there was some demand from
about a week ago.
a handful of people.
I think at least four people said they wanted to hear us. So we've got to the masses, and we're here now.
Yeah, I'm going to say four people is popular demand. I'm with you, Ben.
Yeah.
They asked, you know, they were interested because it's different accents, and they were just being kind. But here we are. We've called the bluff.
I think they quite like our turn of phrase as well. We're quite weird to them, and they're quite weird to us. I think that's why we sort of get on so well.
We could go all Phoenix Knights. The special relations coming in your ears.
We'll be there in a bit. Don't worry. Don't worry, Jerry. We'll be there.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
I don't know what these two are talking about either, so no.
The voice Phoenix Knights. Don't lie. good stuff, guys, good stuff. So enough about us and talking on our, if you can still understand us and we don't just sound like accents from a bad Hollywood film, we'd like to move on now to this weekend. There's a couple of big shows happening this weekend. So I hear. Starting off this Saturday. Saturday. All right, I need to try and keep my accent feel soft. Coming up this Saturday, by the way, you know. This Saturday we have got NXT War Games 2019. It's unbelievable how you can go a full year and it's just all one-on-one, and all of a sudden everybody hates each other. Teams of four, funnily enough. So much so, two War Games matches this year. So I'll just quickly run down the card before I get your thoughts, gents. So you have Matt Riddle versus Finn Balor, and just a bog standard one-on-one match. Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, and Damian Priest in a triple threat match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship the following night on Survivor Series. And then you've got your two War Games matches, Undisputed Era versus Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, and TBA. And then we've got the first ever women's War Games match. Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim against Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and my countrywoman, Kaylee Ray.
Io. Oh, sorry, Kaya.
No, it's all right. Fire away. All I was just going to say was, what's your thoughts, guys?
Okay, so my first thought is, has there been a better four-match card since Canadian Stampede than this?
I was just going to say Canadian Stampede as well.
In terms of anticipation, the only really change you would make is putting Gargano in against Balor and moving Riddle into the War Games. But for a four-match card, this is unbelievable. And it will piss all over Survivor Series. I have got absolutely no doubt about that.
Hot take.
Well, I know, but it needs saying, doesn't it?
It's not untrue, that's why.
First of all, I've just realised I've mentioned my countrywoman Kaylee Ray, but second match up, Pete Dunne, your countryman.
My countryman, my main man. I absolutely adore the guy. He's amazing.
I'll just say, I'm claiming Pete Dunne. He's from Dudley. That's close enough to me to be proper local.
Yeah. Rory's got more claim to him than I have, to be fair.
We've all got claim to him. Anything you do taps, he's British when he wins, he's English when he loses.
Here we go. Fight talk.
So Rory, have you got any thoughts on the card at all?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where you just hear the card like that Raw, and I agree, four matches and there's not even anything close to a weak link between them. Like a lot of people, though, I'm a little dubious about the idea of having two War Games matches on the same card. There is a risk of overkill there, especially given how long they like to make the War Games matches they have the last 2 years. So I'm a little wary of that. But when you consider the talent involved, if anybody can deal with it, it's going to be this bunch, isn't it?
Oh, I would say so. The thing is, it's now getting to the point where I feel that they're just doing two matches, one for men, one for women, just for the sake of it.
You don't, I mean, see
if you were to have the Pete Dunne against Adam Cole for the NXT title on that show and leave it to the women, nobody would bat an eyelid. Because it's just so hot just now that they could main event in that War Games match and nobody would think twice about it.
What I have liked, and I think they've learned the lesson from last year at the Rumble, is that they have not hammered over the head the fact that this is the first ever woman's ... Just let them have the match. If they're good enough, let them have the match. We don't need this glad handing all the time. I know why they do it for the PR, but we don't need it all the time.
Exactly. I mean, I don't remember it being battered over the head when it was the last women standing at Evolution with Charlotte and Becky. It was two really, really popular women, really popular superstars going at it because they were having a last women standing because they're having this really, really hot blood feud and nobody batted an eyelid. They weren't having it for the sake of having a last women standing match.
It's that whole thing, though, that WWE, you know, I think fans have been critical of it for a while. Of, you know, why are we having this match in Hell in a Cell? Oh, because it's October.
Yeah.
And Rory alluded to it. Why are we having War Games? Because it's the pay-per-view. That's the name.
Yeah.
And it's just that overkill. Like you say, the matches are going to run long. There's going to be two of them. Are the fans going to be petered out by whatever the main event's going to be? Because, you know, those other two matches are going to deliver as well.
Yeah, there's no propensity on this card for a cool down match, let's face it.
No.
I mean, all four of those, that is high octane red zone stuff. I'm just... No, NXT crowds, we know what they're like, and I mean that in a good way, really. But I would be a little concerned about burnout. Although I suppose if you want to look at it this way, a War Games match, you know it's not going to end for the first 20-25 minutes anyway. So there might be a natural area there in the early going for the crowd just to gather their breath a little bit until everybody's in the ring. I don't know. It's a little bit of a risk, but I think they're going to get through it.
Yeah, because you know full well with War Games, obviously with the rules of War Games, the match doesn't finish until all eight people are in the ring. So you've got that 20 minutes at the beginning where you go, oh, I'll go do something if I need to go.
and the thing that's jumping out to me is the structure of the show, the formatics, as yeah. one of our PICs would say.
I like formatic. That's a great word.
One of these War Games matches is going to need to go on first, you'd think.
Yeah,
I think that's going to happen, yeah.
Yeah, and it waters down.
They're going to open and close the show with them, aren't they? And then the other two matches are going to be in the middle.
I would have thought so.
But to me, that's watering down what has been up to this point an elite match type.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the way they want to do it. They've done it for years. Whatever we say... It's going to change anything. As influential as we are, you know.
We know our place.
We do.
let's ask the question: who's the TBA then? Come on, boys. Cards on the table.
I think the TBA will be the Dream. I know people think he's injured, but that is my pick is going to be Dream.
Oh, good shout. Good shout.
Only because it was the Undisputed Era that put him out. And that is my only theory on it.
Continuity, baby.
Well, they do it sometimes. Sometimes they do it. So you've got to applaud them when they do.
On NXT, they do anyway.
Exactly.
I'm not sure. I may well go. I was thinking Gargano up until this morning when I was chatting with one of my pals. It could be someone from NXT's past, maybe a Kevin Owens, I'm not sure.
Owens almost seems like a bit of a red herring, but you know what I mean?
Well, obviously...
Is that too obvious? Not that obvious is necessarily bad.
It wouldn't necessarily need to be Kevin Owens. It could be... maybe not Sami Zayn, because he's got his thing with... Has he still got his thing with Nakamura going on just now?
They've got the triple threat, haven't they? Yeah.
It could be... Bo Dallas, someone like that. It could be just someone from NXT's past.
Okay. I'm glad you
How about Big E just coming in, just wanting to count five? Let's just go way back.
Yeah, with the best will in the world, Bo Dallas, we're straying into Savio Vega, No Way Out of Texas, 98 levels there.
And my other prediction for the women's match... It will be Dakota Kai making the pinfall on Shayna Baszler. I think Tegan or Candice gets taken out on the pre-show. That's my prediction.
You think Baszler's taking the fall? Oh, wow.
I think Baszler will take the fall because they'll want to set up Baszler looking weak.
Well, she's got to at some point if she's going at all.
You know, she's held the title for over a year now, hasn't she? So she's got to at some point be made to look weak because she hasn't got a girl's weather. She's... relying on three other schlubs in her eyes.
Well, they could just do what they did with Asuka and just have her tap out.
Yeah.
That showed Asuka's weakness straight away. I mean, it might as well have killed her, but that's not, you know, they're not. That happened after. It didn't help that she tapped out at WrestleMania, but she did look as if she was, it gave her some weakness.
And,
Rory, what about you? What you thinking for the TBA?
Well, you've mentioned both my picks there. Gargano was my original one.
Sorry.
And then Owens is this too obvious? Is this not too obvious pick? I've already mentioned Savio Vega now, so I've pretty much bribed my choices, haven't I?
If it was Savio Vega, that would be.
Could you imagine?
Let's be honest, we all kind of want it to be now, don't we? Mentioned it. Anything else would be a disappointment.
Just to hear that Bariqua's music again, it would be just amazing.
He's got to come out in the full Ice Cream Man garb.
Is Jeff Farmer still around so he can come out as quote unquote Adam Cole? the NWO Adam Cole.
Just come out to the Cobra music for that full what is really happening effect.
So, anything else, boys, on NXT before?
Yeah, just quickly, who do we think is going to have the title match?
But I think it's going to be Pete Dunne, myself.
I hope it's Dunne, but I think it'll be Dane because he's been on the show most recently.
Yeah, I think Dane's going to take it.
Show, I should say.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Dane's going to do it. There just seems to be a bit of a groundswell behind him at the moment, so I think he's going to get the nod here in a losing effort.
Yeah, he won't be winning the title on Sunday, but yeah, in a losing effort, but it'll be a great match, whichever of the three get picked.
Agreed.
If he's going to win the title, facing Adam Cole after he's had a War Games match isn't going to hurt a Cole any. No, so
true.
Could be.
I still say it's unlikely country, though. Another almost. Absolutely, yeah, of course. No,
almost.
Absolutely, he is.
He's. I saw him at ICW shows. That man is massive. The TV doesn't do justice how big that man is. He's huge.
What is he, 350 pounds or something like that? He's
every bit of it.
Yeah.
So, Kelly and Dane, Pete Dunne win, we all win.
And then Balor is obviously going to be beating Riddle. It's going to be a great match, but Balor's going to be taking that.
I would think so.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if Riddle wins that one.
Who's winning the men's War Games? What are you thinking?
I am thinking. I'm still gonna go with Dream beating Roddy Strong. Because my booking is saying that the women's champion is going to get pinned or submitted. They ain't going to pin or submit both champions or both main champions. I'll rephrase that.
Not a bad show.
It's one of those situations where if you've got a surprise mystery partner and that team ends up losing, that's a bit blur. So I think the whoever the surprise partner team is going to win. And if it's Savio Vega, we all win.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I've just had a lucid moment about fantasy booking. What if the TBA is Gargano and Ciampa and Gargano cost each other the match because they're both wanting to pin Adam Cole and then Cole rolls them up, or Roddy Strong rolls one of them up, and then you have the simmering tension still between Ciampa and Gargano. You have both of them going for Cole.
I think the end game will be, you know, Goldie being back in the hands of Ciampa. It's just a matter of when, not if. So I can see that working.
Okay, yeah. Good stuff. So I moving on. Enough. Sorry, Rory, what were you going to say?
Yeah, Survivor Series now, isn't it?
That
other show that's going on. Yeah.
So one of us has some very strong opinions about this show. Ben, would you care to enlighten us?
I just feel like I need a piece of paper to write down everything that's going on at the moment. Like this whole brand supremacy crap. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. This company used to be so much better when it came to writing storylines. I was like, oh yeah, all they care about is the brand that they're on or the show that they're on. No. They don't give a shit what show they're on. They're moving sideways to sideways to sideways every year.
They don't care. And it's just the fact that every show you need a piece of paper basically to write down and connect the dots to everything that's going on. Whereas before, it used to just be a lot more simpler. Maybe I'm getting a bit older now and a bit more fuddy-duddy, but that's my view.
No, I think you're quite right. It's been confusing, to say the least.
Calum. The show after Saudi Arabia, that was great because everything was simple and it was streamlined. But once the waters got muddied again, that was it. It was basically a mindfuck. It's like, what is going on here? I honestly don't know. You've got people being at war one night and then best friends the next. It's like, what? Just because you're on the same show, that means you're going to be happy with each other? No.
And then you've got the thing that I think it's been mentioned in the chats more than once now. So you've got, I'm just looking at one of the teams here. So Team Raw for the men's 5-on-5-on-5. Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, Ricochet. They weren't all on Raw 6 weeks ago. So yeah. Why now have they got all the this is my brand, I'm Team Raw.
Yeah.
By the night after WrestleMania, you'll be Team SmackDown again.
Yeah, it's sideways moves for the sake of sideways moves, isn't it?
It doesn't even hold up in kayfabe. If I was a wrestler who was working for Team Raw in this situation, why would I be bothered? Why would I waste my energies on something synthetically meaningless, or meaninglessly synthetic, as brand supremacy? I wouldn't care.
No, you're bothered about Kevin Owens. Why aren't I excited much? That was the brilliant thing with Kevin Owens at NXT, for example, when he kept saying, I'm doing this, I've turned on my best friend to make money for my family and to support my family and to make us have the best life. And that was a story everybody could get behind, whether you thought he was a heel or a face. Yes. But now, like Rory says, brand supremacy, what the hell's that? Who cares?
Baron Corbin and fucking Shorty G.
Shorty G, who, by the way, is as tall as Ali, but we won't mention that.
Shorty Ali.
Yeah.
Why? Because they've, for they're now going brand supremacy, Team SmackDown. They were at each other's throats a few weeks ago. So I understand that might play into it.
No stakes. It's never explained why they should put their differences aside. We're not even told, even in the WWE universe, we're still not really meant to given any idea why one of these people winning matters. That's the thing. It might matter a bit more if they didn't just forget about it the next day as well, but that's a very commonly held viewpoint.
I mean, at least NXT have tried to differentiate from it, haven't they? So, all the Undisputed Era are in the triple threat matches or in a title match. So it's going to be Ciampa's team that's going to be going forward to the men's Survivor Series match. So they've tried at least a little bit.
If you just made it mean something, the big 5-on-5 match, something like, I don't know, or if you tot them all up at the end of the night, all the results, something like spots in the Rumble or anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Bring out one of your giant checks that you get in the lottery and everyone gets a bonus payment.
It's basically meaningless, isn't it? Like, it's just like Rory says, it's basically meaningless. What are you going to get as a result of surviving the women's match? Are you going to get a woman's title shot? Is that going to be your reward? We don't know.
Plus, in fact, now in 2019, the idea of brand v brand is incredibly anachronistic.
Yeah.
When there's very real competition going on. Oh, did I say that?
Exactly.
Now?
As bad as the invasion was, at least you had, I'm Team WWF, I'm Team WCW. If my team don't win, I will not have a job. So,
yes.
Chris Jericho and The Rock, and Chris Jericho was like, he was right in the cusp of his heel turn, but he had a reason to be on that team. If he didn't, if he wasn't on that team and had that team lost, he'd be out of a job. You don't have the same stakes, is it?
The storyline stakes, wasn't there? Whereas there is nothing here. There is absolutely nothing. What was the Raw team again, Callum? Can you just repeat it to me?
Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet.
So they lose the match on Sunday. On Monday, everything, oh, we'll be happy as Larry. Everything will just be fine. We'll just be going on to the next show. What? Really? Is that the way we're going? At least, you know, let's pretend that there's something on the line. Let's, you know, even if we're going back to the 80s and put some money on the line, even. You know, I think we're all savvy enough now to know they're not going to get the money. But hey, you know, 500 grand split each five ways. We can all work for that. Do anything like that.
As a great man once said, you've got to go to the pay window.
Absolutely.
So give them something to go. So give them a bonus when they get to that pay window.
Yeah.
Give them a reason to do it. You're absolutely spot on. And even harking back to that first SmackDown after Saudi Arabia, NXT ran in, but you had Ciampa, Adam Cole, the rest of the Undisputed Era. But when all was said and done, Triple H is in the ring and everyone's looking at Triple H, Tommaso Ciampa is looking directly at the belt on Adam Cole's shoulder.
Goldie, yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, this is a means to an end. I want to show that I belong on, quote unquote, the main roster, as much as NXT is now clearly part of the main roster. But it's, I don't care as much about this brand as I do about the belt that's hanging over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fantastic. And it's kind of slipped away as
great
it's
gone piece. On. It was a great piece of character work. Absolutely. Just that 5-second glance, it just told you everything about that man.
Yeah. And that's a man with a goal. So if he's on Team NXT and he's a survivor or whatnot, or he has a good showing, or he's the last person on Team NXT, for instance, then he'll go because I was carrying this team.
It'll be Team Ciampa plus Balor. I would think would be Team NXT. That would be my guess.
It's probably a fair shout.
I'm saying this. I don't think they've announced it, but that would be my guess as the team.
Well, this is harking back to why they wore one night. Why are they best pals the next?
Yeah, yeah.
The 5-on-5-on-5 matches. Team NXT for both events is still not announced.
No.
So at least they're not mixing and matching. I would say is probably the only good thing there.
And the other frustrating thing is though, you know, that there's going to be good. There's some room for fantastic matches there. The tag match is going to be amazing if it's given the time. That style strong Nakamura match is, again, if it's given time, is going to be ridiculous. So the talent's there. It's just the story writer again.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, the match quality takes care of itself.
Yeah,
with the E these days, doesn't it? That is the myriad, another Scott Friendly term there. The myriad of issues I have with the WWE these days.
I can see that word.
I know what that word means.
The in-ring quality is way, way, way down on my list of concerns.
Yeah.
But is that enough is the question.
Exactly. You've got to have the sizzle with the steak, haven't you?
Yeah, precisely.
With the guys they've got in the roster, see if you have a bad match, you've got it completely wrong from their standpoint. Because you should be able to get... So there's 8 matches in this card. They've got enough talent that they should have... 8 good matches.
Yeah.
But when you put the crap storylines alongside it, it just brings it down.
It's the broader point. I mean, I don't think we'll have time to talk about today, but it's the broader point of Triple H's booking versus Vince and Kevin Dunn, isn't it? You know, it's that Triple H seems to book for an audience. WWE is booking for an audience of one. And that is the difference from where I sit anyway.
Are you trying to say that dog costumes aren't funny in November 2019?
I'm afraid I wasn't liking the dog costumes or the dog yelps. They didn't do anything for me, I'm afraid.
Pal.
but Corbin's
pun,
a great
pun intended.
But Corbin's a great example because I liked Corbin in NXT playing that anti-internet darling. He was brilliant at NXT. Goes to the main roster, and guess what? He's a boring piece of shit because he hasn't got people helping him write and structuring his character properly.
Now, Corbin's the incubator of all the bad stuff at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What are you going to do with a guy you openly, was it 6 months ago, blamed for ratings going down? I mean, one, you're talking about ratings on a show where people don't want to hear stuff like that. And then you're blaming it firmly on one guy. You're just asking for people to not quite X-Pac heat, but you're getting to that level.
It wasn't fair to blame it on one guy, especially in the era we live in now where, you know, ratings don't matter hardly as much as they used to because everybody streams everything nowadays. So, you know, people don't watch things live, do they, much anymore? I mean, I can count on one hand the amount of TV shows I watch live at the time. And it's the same for wrestling. You know, going back to 2001, if the Monday Night Wars were happening today, would the ratings be as high? Probably not. So to blame it on one guy is ridiculous, but he is a boring piece of shit. I'll quite happily go to that length. But to put it all on one guy, the problem, when there's a far bigger problem, you know, is just unfair, I think.
Yeah, I would definitely say so.
But I also think that's another conversation for another time, not just for Sunday is just a byproduct of the general malaise that we've got going on at the moment.
So coming up in a future episode of the Special Relations, curing Baron Corbin.
Yes, yes, I could definitely do that.
I've put another idea in his head,
and not just firing him.
So roll on Survivor Series then, eh?
Do you feel better after that, Ben? Have you got that off your chest?
I do, because I feel I've got some kindred spirits. And, you know, it's always nice when people generally agree with the point you're making. Even if you don't make it in the way you wanted to. As long as people are happy with what I'm saying, that's the main thing.
I don't think you're going to get too much dissension with Baron Corbin. It's a bit boring, but okay.
Like I say, it's not just Baron. It is not just Baron. He's the punching bag, isn't he, at the moment?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
You know, it was Roman Reigns, now it's Baron Corbin.
I know. There's always going to be a lightning rod for someone. And even now, you'll be the flavour of the month 1 month. And look at Seth Rollins. Everyone was clamouring for him to get the title. As soon as he's the title, boo!
And then you know, Bray comes along, smashes it out of the park, and you know, everybody starts hating Seth again.
Yeah.
Because he's not Bray.
Yeah. And until Bray beats Daniel Bryan at the weekend and everyone's like, oh no, no, this is they're burying Daniel Bryan again. I hate Bray Wyatt.
You know it's coming.
So that was one prediction for Survivor Series. I've not run through the card yet.
I have to.
So just quick fire predictions. Brock versus Rey for the WWE title.
Brock,
yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Brand supremacy, triple threat. Becky versus Bayley versus Baszler.
Bayley.
Becky over Bayley.
Yeah, I was going to say Becky as well. Probably over Bayley. Yeah.
Only reason I picked Bayley is after the promo a couple of weeks ago on Raw where they basically just ignored her. That's the only reason I'm going with Bayley.
Bayley should have won after she took an axe to the inflatable tube flailing end tubes.
I know I'm in the vast minority, but I like emo Bayley. I think it's been a great turn of character. I know I'm in the minority on that, but I really like emo Bayley. Yeah.
So we've already talked briefly about how good a match is going to be. Viking Raiders against The New Day, which is down here as Big E and Kofi. Oh, because Xavier Woods is injured, isn't he?
And
versus Undisputed Era.
And don't remember that Kofi's a former champion because we don't want anybody to remember that.
Well, no. He does. He doesn't remember, so why should we?
Yeah.
Especially if I lose the night before.
I'm going to say Raiders.
Oh, we'll go one apiece here. I was going to say the New Day. Okay. Try and redeem Kingston a wee bit if you can. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown versus Team TBA in the women's 5-on-5-on-5.
God.
Would it help if I told you who's on each team?
Yes, it really would.
Yes, it really would, actually. Yeah.
So, Team Raw is Charlotte, Natalya, Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Sarah Logan. And Team SmackDown is Sasha, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross.
Yeah, Team Raw.
Raw. Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors, they won't beat that. Especially on NXT, wasn't Nikki standing tall with a trash can? So I think that SmackDown's chances gone down in that match already.
So Team Raw, as we said, Rollins, McIntyre, Owens, Orton and Ricochet. Team SmackDown, Roman, Mustafa Ali, who's found his first name again, Braun Strowman, King Corbin and Shorty fucking G. And Team NXT, TBA.
Obviously, we don't know who's in team. Team NXT should win that.
Yeah, they've got to get a win somewhere along the line, haven't they?
I've already picked the Raw for the women, but that's not going to stop them. Now, call me naive. I'm going Team NXT.
I'll go Team SmackDown because of the whole Corbin Reigns thing. I think they'll use it as an excuse to carry on the feud with a victory. I know what they're like.
Team SmackDown, and I think that you're going to get a strong showing from Ali and Gable on this one.
Yeah.
I think this could be their could be a good platform for them to
I don't know if you saw it, but that match they had on SmackDown when they were I think it was last week, the tag match, they were absolutely brilliant together. The chemistry was off the chart for two guys who have never tagged together, really.
Gable's a really good tag wrestler anyway. He's exceptionally good in singles, but he's an absolutely brilliant tag wrestler. And Mustafa Ali is just outstanding as well.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where I think NXT could sneak a win. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roderick Strong. I think Roddy might pull one off here.
I'll go Roddy as well, because with my 50-50 booking head on, if I've got him losing on Saturday, he's winning on Sunday.
I think that's another one they need to win. I don't see AJ or Nakamura, or the ghost of Shinsuke Nakamura, really needs a win at this point. So I'm going to go for Strong.
He's just counting that contract down, baby.
Universal title, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt against Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, The Fiend wins. And if the internet still explodes in 2019, the internet explodes.
I think The Fiend wins. I think it'll be relatively shady, though. And I think this time it'll be, because it's Daniel Bryan, it'll be okay for it to be a shady victory. And obviously they've got the stipulation pay-per-view coming up where they can build to a second match. That's my theory.
Oh, I forgot about that. Fiend wins for me as well. And then our last one is Adam Cole, baby, versus the winner of the triple threat match the night before.
You stole my line.
Sorry. Adam Cole.
Baby.
There we go.
I was going to go for Boom, but Baby is better. whoever wins a triple threat will lose to Cole on Sunday.
100%.
It'll be a good match. It'll be a really good match, but whoever wins the triple threat will lose to Cole.
Agreed, 100%.
Well, they've got it. Dane's absolutely killing people on NXT, so if Dane doesn't win, then whoever's coming into that one is going to be battered as Cole, I think. So
yeah.
Cole's probably going to take that one as well, I would say.
Because you've got the two things. You've obviously got the Dane killing people, and obviously Pete Dunne's drink manipulation. So, you know, whoever's going to be walking into that match is not going to be 100% either way.
Pete Dunne's joint manipulation, if you're walking out of the match, the only person that might be walking is Pete Dunne.
Exactly.
Any other thoughts on Survivor Series?
I'll be happy for Mauro to get back on the commentary table. He'll be showing Cole up, and that'll be great.
Oh, yeah, I've thought of that, yeah.
Whichever match they get. The NXT commentary team
are knocking it out of the park. They are the three of them together are absolutely fantastic.
You'd like to think you would get on the call for the NXT Championship match anyway.
Well, you know full well that Beth will be on the women's match. That's at least the two women's matches at least for starters off.
And as long as he's probably get Triple H producing them, then he'll be happy as Larry. Happy as Larry, for people who don't know, means really, really happy.
Yeah. I haven't used fucking Ledger, have I? I've got it. I need to get that in at some point.
If you do that, I think we might hear Tim Capel from here.
Yeah. Well, what we've got coming up in the second part, I think there might be some Ledge maneuvering to be done.
Indubitably.
Yes. Great words. What a word.
Well, with that said, since we're talking about the next part, I think this is probably a good time to take a break, give everybody a break from not being able to understand us whatsoever. me especially. I'm quite proud that the two of you can understand me. That can be quite difficult sometimes.
You're doing a grand job, Caleb. A grand job.
Magic buddy.
Larry. So we'll take a break here and we'll see you on the other side for some sitcom chat and a very special live watch.
Woo!
Live. My brothers don't die, we just rusty bark. I tell your girl to link me at the coffee shop. Getting freaky in the sheets, we're taking body shots. Then I finish with a fish with just to top it off. Ay, my brothers don't die, we just rusty bark. I tell your girl to link me at the coffee shop. Getting freaky in the sheets, we're taking body shots. Then I finish with a face with just to top it off. Ay. You ain't got a clue, let's be honest. I had a couple seasons made of forest. I put in the work and take the profit. Looking at my girl, like what a goddess.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I'm going under and this time I fear there's no one to save me. This all or nothing really got away, you're driving me crazy.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation. You're back with us across the water. Just to let you know quickly about the things that are going on across Place to Be Nation. Over on the pop feed, the Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marble Age podcast, where they continue to look at roughly one third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year of 1972. On Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports, the Cowboy and John D'Amato look at the recent Major League Baseball season and ahead to the newest NBA season. Our Travelling Fanboys go off the page and look at 1974's television movie Wonder Woman, starring Kathy Lee Crosby and Ricardo Montalban, if that's how you say it right. DC4U continues their Green Lantern month by taking a deep dive into the beginnings of the Four Corpsmen, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, John Stewart and Kyle Rayner. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Have the Steelers got a big game this weekend, Ben?
It's the Bengals this week. It's the Bengals.
Oh, it's a guaranteed win then, surely.
Well, hopefully. I did say, going from when they were 4-4, that I thought we could go 6-2 for the rest of the season. Like, obviously, Baltimore have got the AFC North wrapped up. It's just a case of, is there a wild card pick in there somewhere? And I think there could be.
I think there still could be one for the Giants as well. Just next year, probably. are you into the NFL yourself, Rory?
What are you talking about again?
they call it football, but they play it with their hands. It's like rugby, but with pads and non-manly men.
It'll never catch on.
Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 25, they bring you The Office season 3, episodes 22 and 23. On the newest Diamond Conversations, the fifth episode features a one-on-one chat with author J. David Herman, who wrote the book Almost Yankees, The Summer of 81, and The Greatest Baseball Team You've Never Heard Of, about the 1981 Columbus Clippers. In a Place to Be Nation pop special, Andy Atherton, Todd Weber and Scott Criscolo break down the brackets and matchups of the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament. And we have got some thoughts on that one. And in another PTBN pop special, Jason Sherman, Andy Atherton and Miranda Berthold break down the launch of the new streaming service, Disney Plus. Again, what's that?
Don't get me started on that.
Let's get 30 seasons of The Simpsons that we can't access.
Oh, we have got 4 and a bit months and counting. You just got to remember that. 4 and a bit months and counting.
The Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament kicks off on Monday, November the 25th, with the play-in round. There will be 4 matchups a day, so make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single one. And if you were following the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament, you've already in the new group, so you don't need to change anything over. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, where we are, the premiere episode of Body Pressure Luck, PTBN's first ever wrestling trivia game show, host JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan welcome Ryan Everett, Neil Trammer and Logan Crossland to battle it out. If you think you've got what it takes to be a main inventor on the show, reach out to us and you may be on a future episode. The latest Place to Be Nation podcast, JT and Scott are joined by Jennifer Smith as they review the Madison Square Garden House show from February 1990.
It's one of the best shows they've done. Sorry, Callum, but
not a good MSG show. Brilliant PTB show.
The perfect package, baby.
Part 2 of episode 137 of the main event hit this week. Nate, Scott, and Steve go back to 2002 to check out TNA's 20th pay per view. God bless them. They're having some absolute dross with that just now.
I quite liked TNA about 2005, 2008, the sort of the Christian Cage years. I was very into TNA at that stage. As I said, because we didn't have Sky at my girlfriend's house, but we did have Challenge TV. So Wrestle Talk and TNA, I was all over that on a Sunday night. That was sort of my time.
Do either of you remember the Wrestling Channel when it was on Sky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That had Impact, like, up to date. I say up to date, it was about 2 or 3 weeks old at the time, and then Classic TNA on at the same time.
Classic Ring of Honor, because it was about 2005 it kicked in, didn't it? So they had the ROH tapes from, like, 2002. So I use the word classic in inverted commas here.
Well, the Wrestling Channel had more classic ROH than ROH On Demand does just now. The thing about TNA was, going off topic, I'll get back to it, is I thought their best shows were when they were actually didn't have a TV deal. Do you remember they streamed it on YouTube or their own website? That was the best stuff they ever did.
Because they still had the international deal, so they had the deal with Challenge at that point. So they had to produce TV. So, because they didn't have anything in the US, but they had it overseas, they had to carry on with it. So my TNA view, there's 3 distinct periods. Like I say, there's the Christian Cage years. Mm-hmm. There's the build, and I can't remember what lockdown it was, but the build to Storm versus Rude. I was all over that. Mm-hmm. And Aces and Eights, until that went stupid. Loved that. And then I lost interest. Absolutely went dead as a dodo.
Well, the boys will get to that eventually. in many years' time. Well, the new wrestling...
Episode 996.
Ken Anderson versus Garrett Bischoff.
Episode 996, 4 away from 10 bills. Or 100
bills. Very good.
We've got one bill. We've got one bill.
We are 99 away from 100 quid. On a new Wrestling Warzone, JT and Chad dive into Raw and Nitro from 2/5/1996.
As mentioned earlier.
Jerry and the Gems explore the WWE Hidden Gems vault again with a look at the Great American Bash Tour from Greensboro in 1998. In our new show, second new show, with this ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy took a look at 5 matches and discuss where they place on Ryan's GWWE match list as well as Cindy's personal list. I must say, I had a listen to that not long after it came out. It was fantastic. I thought it was a very good.
Cindy make some good picks? Are we happy with Cindy's picks?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And on the latest PTB and Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with the much anticipated Hostile City Showdown. Oh, slip of the tongue there.
It wasn't that bad.
Subscribe to the Jerry Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, talking pop, freak out, driving, telling stories, and more.
If you haven't heard that episode with Nate, sorry to interrupt again, Callum, but if you haven't heard that episode with Nate Milton, that is some fantastic listening talking pop.
The Nate gets fired story is absolutely brilliant.
It's just the way, obviously, they go. It's like a normal talking pop episode, and then halfway through it goes quite serious very quickly. It's like, oh, okay, we're going there. This was not what I was expecting, but it's required listening, I would say.
It was fantastic listening, as ever. Don't forget to check out Place to Be Nation each and every day. PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles and topics in the world of wrestling, sports and pop culture, including the SmackDown Fox Report, This Week in WWE, Polly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive and Ben's Unpopular Opinion.
That column's rubbish. Don't bother with that one, but that column's awful.
That's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah,
There you go.
Thank you, Rory.
Have that one for free.
I like you already. This is good.
You're doing well.
Don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly walk around the web, where every Wednesday he goes through the most interesting and unexpected funny stories on the World Wide Web. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland, I have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead at the biggest matchups. And if you're doing online shopping, don't forget to log on to placetobenation.com/Amazon if you're going to be using that site. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to yourself.
Excellent job, Callum. That was brilliant. Well done, mate.
Well read, that man.
And by the way, we're going to keep the British football talk going because I know you all care about how Stoke City and Aston Villa and what's your team again, Callum, are doing?
Airdrie.
So yeah. we'll keep you all informed as to how good or bad we all actually are.
I'm actually going to a game this weekend, which I've not done.
I will be going. I have a season ticket. We've got a home game this weekend. It's our new manager's first game at home. Hopefully it'll be as good as the last game where we won 4-2. And yeah, everything's optimistic at the moment until he starts messing things up.
Like your new gaffer was 1-0 up against Germany for 5 minutes or so.
Well, I'm seriously impressed with him. I know he's only been around for about 2-3 weeks. I'm seriously impressed with him.
Before the last Joker we get in, we were after him to be the Scotland manager.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we wouldn't give him the money he was looking for. I was just like, this guy is brilliant. We've not done anything for 22 years. Give the guy the money.
Football is a very, very simple game that people try to overcomplicate with systems and play. Here's a radical idea. Play players in the position they're best at and you will get good results. Who would think that would work?
Oh, who would have thought that? Look,
what a concept.
Look at Rory's Aston Villa for a prime example.
By the way, Rory, I love Jack Grealish. What a guy.
Good lad. They bring in a guy who is all about Aston Villa. And look what happens. They shoot up the table, they get promoted, and they're doing quite well this year.
How do we feel about Mourinho coming back in?
Taking over as Tottenham manager, for those who haven't heard.
Tottenham manager.
Personally, wanted him at Arsenal. I think they've missed the boat there on him. The guy is a winner, and that's something that Spurs don't do, which I like to tell everyone all the time.
It'll be good for the short term, but long term's a different story. But
I'll give it 18 months tops. It's going to end in tears. It follows this guy around.
But if you were ever reading my social media page, you would know about my thoughts on Jose Mourinho, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, Aintree. But you can also check out the social media pages and the message board at bigelow34.prodos.com for information on joining the greatest WWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. And get on in the conversation today. Start researching your lists. Ballots are open now, and the ballot link will be available on the Facebook group page.
That was brilliant, Callum. That was absolutely brilliant bringing that back in. Well done, that man. Yes.
Thank you.
He's a natural.
I'm doing a lap of honour of the living room as we speak.
Rightly so.
So, speaking of the greatest sitcom ever project, I was almost going to say the greatest sitcom of the 80s project, but there's quite a lot in that category.
There's a whole section for the 80s. That's how they've done it. That's all.
You may have listened to, or should I say probably should have listened to at this point, the PTBN pop special about the greatest sitcom of all time tournament. They were the hosts were, you know, very biased towards them against the UK ones. No, they were. They were. You can only go by what you know. Now we are sort of, I would like to think, experts. We certainly know a lot more about the ones from this side of the pond. So thought we'd just quickly run through some of the matchups for our boys, and we'll sort of hopefully can put you on to some of the best bits of it.
Some sleeper picks, I think, way I'd describe it.
And maybe change your mind on some things. Although I see one matchup already in front of me that is an absolute killer.
There's two from the part of the podcast I've heard, there is two of our best shots will have absolutely no chance of getting through. And I get the feeling one of them is what you're probably going to say, Callum, so I'll let you carry on.
So what I'm going to do is I'll run through the picks from the sitcoms from our side, and we'll run through just a couple of quick ones. So in the play-in games, we have in the Tropicana region, Only Fools and Horses against My Favourite Martian, Fawlty Towers against The Courtship of Eddie's Father, Porridge versus Dennis the Menace, and Are You Being Served versus McHale's Navy. So there's one that sticks out to me straight away there, but we'll come back to that. The coffee shop region, we have Absolutely Fabulous against Herman's Head, Mr. Bean versus Red Dwarf.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Fix.
I knew that would get reaction. Keeping Up Appearances versus Major Dad, and Blackadder versus, can't read my own handwriting, Porter Lewis Can't Lose.
Porter Lewis Can't Lose.
It sounds a lot better, to be honest.
Porter Lewis Can't Lose, my God. I only wrote that. I wasn't even in a rush when I wrote this down. The Central Perth region has Father Ted versus Daria. The Dunder Mifflin region has The It Crowd versus Young Sheldon, and the Inbetweeners, some very close to my heart, and the versus the Millers, and we have one that made it through to the tournament itself without having to go through a play-in game. You'll be shocked to hear it's The Office versus News Radio.
That was one of my two. That was one of my two. When I heard that, I was like, what a draw.
So thoughts, gentlemen? What about you? I think Rory is a bit aggrieved at Mr. Bean versus Red Dwarf.
Yeah, I thought Red Dwarf might just have a shot at sneaking through to the main rounds, but Mr. Bean is well known, for better or worse, across the pond. I think that Mr. Bean character has followed Rowan Atkinson around like a pall for the remainder of his career. I get the impression he carries it like an albatross, to be honest with you. It's made him very famous. I'm not sure he is particularly pleased with that, and I hope it isn't, because if it isn't, I would agree with him. But I think Mr. Bean is going to sadly beat Red Dwarf, which would have been my pick to go very far in this tournament, if not all the way, draw permitting, out at the first round, and I am gutted at that.
I think we will be very lucky to get anything through the first round.
I don't think anything is getting through the play-in from here.
The office draw is ridiculous for stars, but...
It's in the main draw, but
against News Radio, which is like a huge program in America, or it was at that point.
Guys, are there any sitcoms in that list as well that we think should have, were expecting to see the list and didn't get there? From over here.
Dad's Army should have been in. I would have thought Peep Show would have had a shot.
Yeah, I mean, if the It crowd gets in there and Peep Show doesn't, yeah.
That's what I was getting at.
I was just about to describe one to you both there, and it was actually Peep Show. Phoenix Nights, but I don't think that really translates too well across.
The Royal Family, I'm surprised didn't get in.
I thought the Royal Family would have been in there, actually. Yeah, I'd love to have seen how well it would have done. But I think more than 3 votes, would have considered itself very lucky. But
I think, like Callum said, it's a translation thing. Does my arse really translate? Probably does a bit, but...
will the Royal Family win my arse? Yeah.
If I ever did an unpopular opinion on the pop site, and I'll stand by it, The Office UK is far better than The Office US, and I know that will get me absolutely shot down, but I will probably go to the grave with that opinion.
Knowing what I know, it will get you shot down on this very program. Is that not right, Mr. McDougal?
Oh, okay. Am I 2-1 here? Okay.
My unpopular opinion is that the US office is miles better than the UK office.
There you go.
It's a good show, don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. I'm not saying I don't enjoy it, but if I'm comparing the two.
But you'd like, so you have like the British Office, fantastic. See, for a 12 episode series with a couple of Christmas specials, fantastic. But the way that the US Office just continued to evolve, and the people you see in it is.
I think it's brilliant, and I'm not going to say it's not, because I think it's very worthy of that. I think it's very worthy of that number one seed. I totally understand why it's been picked for that, but I think it's that thing as well. Listening to the podcast, it's that thing of the American audience. They like quantity of episodes, don't they? Whereas we're here sitting going 12, 13 episodes. That's enough. We're happy with that.
Fawlty Towers had. It didn't have very many episodes as well, did it?
Fawlty Towers only had two series.
Yeah.
It's like things like Fools and Horses, Benidorm, Peep Show are the exception to the rule with you know, when you hit double figures a series. Mm-hmm. That's the exception in this country.
Only Fools and Horses never had more than 8 per series. And that's if you're counting some of the Christmas specials. He says the only Fools and Horses aficionado. I had to pull you up on that one. I have the box set in my hand right here.
No, I didn't mean the amount of episodes in the season. I meant the fact that it went on for so long.
81 to 2003.
Do you know what I mean? And like things like even like Peep Show is, I think, 7 or 8 series long. That's the exception, though, isn't it? Strange shows tend to go 3. If it goes to 5, it's done well, hasn't it? That's... You know, so you're talking 30 episodes max or something.
I think even if you were able to film that amount of episodes, which you probably would with a bit of goodwill, I just don't think British TV viewers have the patience for it.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't think we do this side of the pond. I think we're a lot more regressive when it comes to TV watching in this country.
You look at the stuff that's been really big recently, The Bodyguard, Line of Duty, it's all been... 6-8 episodes.
We've
not really get the attention span to keep it going.
And to be fair, that's been the way over here for at least 20 years, hasn't it, with TV?
Easily.
You know, apart from our soap operas, what's really long running? You know,
I can only think of Casualty, and that's probably classed as a soap opera even.
Yeah, well, you're looking at something just now, like, I've got in the background, I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah.
It's long-standing, but it's reality TV. It's not, like, episodic in the way that, like, dramas and sitcoms are. It's just...
And it's truncated, and it's truncated, isn't it? So it's on only for 3 weeks. It's on every night, yeah. But it's only on for 3 weeks.
Yeah. And then when you get stuff that's longer running, like Big Brother or The X Factor, it ends up just getting canned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But to go back to the tournament, I mean, I don't know how far you guys have gone into it. If 40 Towers made it through to the play-in, it's going to place the Honeymooners, and that's the number two seed. And it's like, say, I will be amazed if anything gets passed
not
to the second round.
So is that the one what's against Dennis the Menace against? Sorry, Callum.
Against Dennis the Menace is Porridge.
Oh, yeah, it ain't going to happen. I'd love it too. Porridge, I think, is the greatest sitcom of all time, ladies and gentlemen.
I do like Porridge.
I think it's the first ever, I'm going to stand by this, the first ever cool heel in television history, at least in this one. The lead character, Norman Stanley Fletcher, cool heel. Okay, I'm going there now.
We invented it.
We definitely don't claiming that one. Never mind Hall and Nash. Clement and Laphronade got there first.
Have we got thoughts about who we think is going to take it all?
Can I just say one very quick thing? When they were talking on the other podcast a couple of days ago, about this on the pop feed, when they mentioned Dear John, I thought that was another one we had a shot with, but they're of course talking about the US version. Also written by John Sullivan, who wrote Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah.
That's the thing, that a lot of them, there's been a lot of British ones that have attempted to make the transition over. There was an American version of The Inbetweeners, which wasn't very good. They tried to make, somehow, for whatever reason, tried to make an American Only Fools and Horses. And that's based on very British humour of a very British guy, really.
I mean, like, I don't know. You probably know better than me, Callum, from the sound of things. Did the Inbetweeners movie do anything in America? Was that a success, or did they even bother?
I couldn't honestly tell you. I would be very surprised, given that because they showed the American Inbetweeners here.
Yeah. I remember that was on E4. And I think I saw one episode and that was enough for me. I was like, what have they done?
What The Office did was they took the same jokes, but translated it almost to American humour or towards an American audience. They didn't do that with The Inbetweeners.
You've just vocalised the point I was going to make, because the Inbetweeners, the funny part of that is the language, isn't it? And you cannot get away with saying fuck, tits and things and clunge on American TV unless you're on HBO or Showtime. You can't get away with saying things like that.
But the premise of Inbetweeners is universal. It's about...
It should work. Well, if you think about it, the Inbetweeners is basically a little more adult version of Saved by the Bell. In terms of a premise, the premise is
you've got four really uncool guys. Okay, let me just say it. Four virgins.
Yeah.
Who are trying to shag everything in sight and get nowhere with it because they're so awkward. That is something that could translate, and for whatever reason, when they tried to write it, they thought, no, this is fantastic. We'll not bother trying to adapt it to a new audience, and we'll just give them, because it's funny here, it'll be funny over there.
Yeah. And things like, I know we've all mentioned it, but something like Peep Show would work perfectly in America. Single camera, you know, that works. Mm-hmm. That premise works because, you know, the single camera thing, you can make your own jokes, you know, you can write it, but the whole premise and the direction, it's there for you.
And, excuse me. And that's why you've got shows coming over here like Friends, Cheers, Frasier, even the US Office has been really, really big over here because it all translates, but I don't know if we're too proud to change it or whatnot, but whether we think it's going to translate or we just can't be bothered changing it.
Well, we live in a society now where, well, obviously we're streaming, where shows do become bigger. So something like Community didn't mean meant fuck all over here, but as soon as Amazon Prime put it on, oh, everybody started watching it. This is quite funny. What's this? Let's go for it. Same with 30 Rock on All Four. You know, everything now is box-setted, isn't it? And you can stream pretty much any show you want now.
Yeah, it's the world's getting smaller in that instance. You can get anything at your fingertips from any part of the world.
So what's winning then, boys?
Only fools and horses.
And in the real world, when you wake up like I do, when we wake each other up, Callum.
It's that Central Perk region. I think it's going to come from there. It's either going to be Friends or Fraser for me.
I think it's going to come from the coffee shop region. You've got Cheers, you've got The Simpsons. I think it's coming from there.
Oh, is Cheers in the coffee shop region? I have not. Yeah. I thought that was with Friends.
No.
Ah,
so
right.
I think it's this thing with Seinfeld where if you like the program, you love the program. Don't you? It's very Marmite. You either love it or you hate it. Mm-hmm. There's no in between with Seinfeld.
I'm just wondering if The Simpsons could take it, you know. Has it got the universality it might need?
If I remember rightly from the episode, I think it's the number 4 or 5 seed in that region.
Okay.
I know Cheers was number 2. I remember that part. And Seinfeld was number 1.
When this thing was first announced a few weeks ago, I thought hands down Seinfeld going to win. No question about it. Now I've done a little bit of research and looked at the group, so I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think Seinfeld will be lucky to get past the quarterfinal of that region. That's my prediction.
It's a very tough region that it's in.
Callum, have you got the whole list in front of you, or have you just got the British ones?
I can get the whole list in front of me.
If you can find it, can you just remind me what Seinfeld would face in the quarterfinal? Because I'm sure the guys were on about it on the podcast.
Yes, leave it with me.
Excellent. We'll put a break in there where we need to.
We can just put the Phoenix Knights xylophone tune.
Yeah.
it's like hold music.
We're all still here.
Talk amongst yourself, yeah. Boys.
I could. maybe I should bring this tonight.
I'm almost certain, like I said, whatever it is, I'm sure it's in the last eight. Seinfeld's going to struggle if he gets through.
So we're looking at Seinfeld.
So that'd be the number 1 seed of Run Tip, so it'd be the number 8.
In the coffee shop region?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the core, so that's the last, so that's 64. What's the... I need to work back here.
I mean, off the top of my head, while Callum's looking, I think it might be something like Married with Children. I might be totally wrong with that.
That's the final. That's semi. So the quarters. I think I could probably get through to the quarters, and it's in the final four of that one. And then it could face... the other side of that sort of quarter of the draw, Golden Girls, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, The Simpsons is on that side of the draw. So
I mean, that's a toughie, that is.
That is three shows of Universal appeal, isn't it? Because the Golden Girls is massive over here as well.
Blanche. Yeah, it was indeed.
Yeah. I'm a little bit older than you three. I remember the Golden Girls on Channel 4.
So do I.
Golden Girls was I remember the Golden Girls were on Channel 4 because my cousin watched it religiously.
It used to be on just after Bewitched. There you go.
Probably the furthest. Well, you're saying that. I see. Hands up here, never heard of News Radio, so I thought The Office was a gimme for that one.
If you do research on it, that was the show where Phil Hartman, so we know him from The Simpsons, of Troy McClure, that was his show when before he passed away. And
It's so a massive.
I may remember him from such shows as News Radio. Oh.
Exactly.
Sure. You got that first, Callum. Bastard.
It was a massive show, both in terms of viewership and its cult following since then. So honestly, I can say it will have, The Office will have no chance against that.
Right. So yeah, that's our best bet. Gone. What was the? I'm thinking of one. Was it The Thick of It with Peter Capaldi?
The Thick of It was the guys who write that wrote Veep. So that was Veep's right. Natural predecessor.
Is that not meant to be? I've never seen it. I've obviously lived a sheltered life. I've never seen The Thick of It, but I have heard that it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Veep,
Veep is Veep's brilliant. Thick of It's fantastic.
Veep, Place to Be Nation. Well, I think Place to Be Nation's a Veep favourite, actually.
Yeah.
I think we all need to pick one that we think is going to go far so we can at least have a dog in the fight until the end. I'm going to say Big Bang Theory. There you are. I'm going to follow that one through. Even though it jumps the shark at about season 7.
The thing with Big Bang is, as the guys were saying on the preview, it's very polarizing. It is like Marmite. I think that the one that I'm following, well, again, two sitting in the fence. I'm getting scales here. Two that I'm following, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
It's fantastic. And The League, I think that is absolutely brilliant.
Love The League. And I think with this group, you know, being so NFL centric as it is at times, The League will go very far.
I think so. It's my type of humour. It appeals to me. Even beyond the sport aspect of it, it's right up my alley.
My pick to win it is Cheers. My sleeper pick is Scrubs. That's going to be my prediction.
Wow. There we go. Rory, you gave us a prediction, didn't you?
I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going Simpsons to win it. There you go.
I'd take that. Brilliant. So I think that's wrapped up. The sitcom chat. I'm feeling a bit disappointed looking at the draw. I don't know about you guys. I thought we were going to have some get a wee bit far, but I don't think there's any of those matches that we can sway anyone's.
We've been screwed, boys. We've been screwed with the breath.
This is bullshit. shall we move on?
Before we get too depressed.
Yeah, we don't want to sound like bitter old Brits. You know, we're quite nice people here.
Well, we can go back in time, shall we?
Let's go back in time.
Let's do it.
You've been kind enough to lend us your time machine.
I haven't. You're very welcome to it. Yes, I have.
Because I believe you've got another podcast. I don't think you really mentioned that a lot at the start.
Only mentioned it twice so far.
You did very well, Rory. Something about 20 years ago, something like that.
Well done, boys. Well done.
That's a Mick Foley type cheap pop there, if anything, or cheap plug, should I say. So we are going back in time to 1994 for Fall Brawl, given the weekend that we've got. Two war games, we'll give you a third. Fall Brawl 1994 in the WCW pay-per-view archives on the WWE Network. We are going to start from the timestamp of 2 hours, 7 minutes and 13 seconds. So we'll let you... We'll let you get settled into that. Whilst we explain what we're going to do on the next show. Does either of you want to take the blame for the idea of what we're going to do next time?
Well, it wasn't my idea. Putting that out there now.
that laugh says it all. I think
as
someone.
The pitchforks get sharpened. Hey,
somebody
you've missed the mark.
Is embarrassed slash, you know, that was a. It's Butley type laugh of a
right. It's gonna be amazing, boys. You know it's gonna be amazing.
tell the people. Tell me. Dozens of people that are going to be listening.
obviously we spoke to the higher ups, and we were on about like, when are we going to be on the air? And they said once a month. That was kind of where we were going, weren't we, boys? We're thinking once every 2 weeks, once a month, if it works out. So the next time we will be on will be the weekend before Christmas, I think the 19th or 20th of December. So we were brainstorming about a live watch thing, and we were thinking around a Christmas special, let's do something like that. And I might have suggested ECW's December to Dismember. So on the next show, we will be live watching ECW December to Dismember from 2006, I want to say. Is that right?
Yeah. You'll be live watching December to December 2006.
Oh, yeah. You two will be off doing something else. Yeah.
We will be now, yes. We'll be there with you, Ben. Don't worry.
Thanks, lads. And as well as that, and at that stage, I think we all sort of said we'll have our top three / top five of our GWWE project done by that stage. So we'll probably reveal what those entries are at that point.
We've got something affordable to talk about at that time.
We might even get through the top 100, depending on how little of it show we watch.
Yeah. Some of those middle matches are positively sleep-inducing.
Excellent. I am already champing at the bit to get there. Tommaso champing at the bit to get there.
Yeah, you sounded really convincing by that. I really felt the love and the intent there.
I become less and less of a Christmas person each year, but it's coming to not nothing compared to what Christmas 2019 is going to be like.
Do we want to talk about Christmas music? No. Do we want to watch Christmas films? No. Do we want to watch a really shitty pay-per-view from 2006? Hell yeah, we do.
I've just had a thought. We may not be allowed to do that. The higher-ups might cancel, because that is freak-out drive-in material.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So, shall we... Shall we war game?
Well, we can, yes.
Okay, so we are at the timestamp of 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 12 seconds. We have got the cage just about to come down. Fireworks are going off in very, very WCW fashion. So we will, if you're ready, gentlemen, we will go on 3, 2, 1, play.
There go the fireworks. We're in.
Lovely.
That guy in the white cap is going very excited. He's loving it.
Breaking up the devil horns for this one. Some might say that's appropriate, but we'll see as we go.
See, you two are very cynical about this.
I like 54 WCW, okay?
Again, folks, I feel like we need to go inside the actor's studio. I might have picked this match. I might have picked this match.
He's had two picks in a row. I just want to say that. By the way. Everybody remember that, okay? He's a very easy man to find. I just want to put that out there. That's interesting. So, time.
Even on a screen, Meng is making me absolutely void my balls.
You just wouldn't, would you? Absolutely not.
Look at that for a group. That is just pure man, isn't it? That is just pure man right there. Even Mean Gene. Magnificent.
Sorry, I just don't know why I found that so funny.
Well, that's why they're so stable. They're just pure man.
Yeah, Mean Gene's a very natural fitted there, isn't he? Give me a break, if you will.
I mean, Ming with his Michael Jackson gloves as well. That is a spectacular fashion statement.
But if you told anyone the story about a guy who ripped someone's eye out of the socket, they probably wouldn't believe you. Then you show them a picture of Ming. That will change their tune.
It suddenly becomes clear. Is this where we're finding out the Colonel's actually in the match?
Spoilers.
Watching this all for the first time, aren't we? I really should know about spoilers, shouldn't I? Not strictly adhering to time machine rules here, everybody. Meng is doing a Meng here, and I'm quite worried.
That was genuine fear on Mean Gene's face now.
Can't say I blame him. very slow camera pan shot of you.
It's because there's nobody on the other side. Just empty.
Do you reckon? Got some very accurate close. Oh, here we go. Now we're talking. Just transfixed by Arne Anderson here, everybody. If you're wondering about the dead air.
Oh, don't trust him.
Now, where's this one going, I wonder? Ah, oh, that's a fucking
Jesse
turn, though, isn't
still,
it?
Jesse was still on commentary. That's late.
Is he he's gone at Bash at the Beach 94, so...
Oh, of course, this would have been quite a bit before that. Oh, here it is.
Now this choice makes sense. Bennett's just mesmerised, by the way, everybody.
If you're watching along, you'll understand.
Some say, some not too far away from me, indeed, say that this even trumps the Hard Times promo, do they not? Yeah, this is just spellbinding stuff.
I feel like Dustin feels right now. I'm just getting a bit...
Dustin doesn't have to say a word either. Doesn't have to say a word. The Kennedys were blood. The roads are blood. Here it comes. It's just there's just something in my eyes. You know, honestly, it's just, you know, just that's all.
Fuck, who's cutting onions around here?
Oh, you beauty!
That could well be. If somebody told you, again, somebody quite close told you that that's better than Hard Times, you couldn't argue.
Just by dint of existing, it makes a very compelling case. It must be said, and that was on an episode of Pro or something. At least they wisely showed the most of it here. Dusty's scrolling up to main because he can, sort of. I feel I should ask, Ben, are you still with us?
Ben?
Hello?
Are you still with us?
I am.
Good.
Excellent. Just mesmerised by...
You're here.
Yes.
Excellent. Sorry about that, everybody. The wonders of live podcasting.
We thought you were just having a moment at that point, which would have been... We wouldn't have minded if you were.
I mean, Meng with a chair wrapped around his head. It doesn't get much better than that. Let's be honest.
We'll get some backstage chatter as well.
Did either of you ever play Legends of Wrestling on the PlayStation?
No.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Nasty Boys were my guys in that. Now, don't know why. I have no idea why. But the Nasty Boys were my guys.
I feel like they'd be pretty good video game characters. You know, just a bit of button bashing, you've got everything covered anyway.
But the way that the moves were in that one, they were doing moonsaults and diamond cutters and...
Moonsaults and diamond cutters, okay.
I do think the Nasty Boys were very underrated. I know that's... I really liked the Nasty Boys. I don't know what it was. Just their chemistry. No explanation. It's a bit like the APA. Just no reasons. I just like them.
Dusty's impressed. That's good enough for me. I'm not sure we needed the reaction shots there, though.
these bar flies are not adding anything, are they, really?
How did that guy get into a bar without a shirt on? What happened to no shirt, no shoes, no service?
That guy from Milli Vanilli on Behind Dusty Shot.
You know it's true.
Look at that. Look at that handlebar.
There is some prime mustache material here.
See, if I walked into that bar, I would walk right back out again. It's a bar where everybody fits in and nobody fits in at the same time.
It's definitely one of those where if you walked into it and you weren't a local, you know, the jukebox would screech to a halt. The darts would stop in midair and everyone would turn and look at you.
It'd be like that episode of The Simpsons where Mo does the audition for the date and he just walks straight through. You'd be like, yeah, be turning back round, wouldn't you? In one movement.
I mean, look at Bob. Bobby's jacket. I mean, I know I will be going about clothes wear a lot, but Bobby's jacket—that is a piece of art.
He is, in a very literal sense. In every sense, he's wearing that.
You've got one of them, haven't you? But a wee BL and diamond.
Oh. Don't give me ideas, boys.
I think we're losing Ben again, everybody.
Oh, hello. Don't say that.
I'm just saying that Bobby there has decided to wear his neck brace today. Bet he wish he had done that 16 months later. What the fuck are you doing indeed?
I could have done an absolutely mean impression of that on Saturday morning after I was at Liam Gallagher. I say like Brian Pillman for about 2.5 days.
Were you well refreshed? Is that what you're getting at?
I was well refreshed, but it was karaoke. It was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, I bet it was.
Nation, I'm drunk and I'm doing karaoke.
I was talking to a boy earlier on. Again, we've completely veered off course, but they're just walking out now. I was talking to a boy earlier on who heard one song and got kicked out. He was inconsolable.
Was he kicked out for rowdiness, shall we say?
He was kicked out for doing something, unintentionally doing something he shouldn't have been doing.
Okay, say no more. I can use my imagination if I wish to. Look at that team.
It's just a magnificent team, isn't it? I mean, you can't look at Robert Parker quite the same way after hearing the Tony Schiavone podcast, can you?
Well, apparently, I don't know, we'll need to look out for it, boys, but according to the Wikipedia page, so take this for what you will, apparently he had quite violent diarrhea during the match.
Ah, this story, yes.
Yeah.
Nobody gave Dustin the "we are wearing the same shirt" memo here.
It's not as if anybody close to him could have told him. You know.
Yeah, nobody's part of the booking committee or anything.
What do they talk about at the breakfast table in the Rose household? Look at that. And Dusty is fucking
from
Dusty.
From the streets
man.
Of New York City. I thought they were from Nashville. Next thing you'll be telling me that the Dudley boys are from Brooklyn.
What? What? No. You mean parts unknown doesn't exist? What?
Your dream shatterers you. Look at that. See, Dusty is a fucking nasty boy, and he is carrying it off. God, that
Dusty
man was incredible.
Dusty could pretty much carry anything off, let's face it.
He was pure ice to the Eskimos, that man. I fucking love him. Well, here we go, then.
It's on. And Arn. Daddy Arn.
What are the chances of Dustin and Arn starting this one off?
Who do you think is going to win the coin toss, boys?
You mean they've not had a ladder match to decide already? What? Wait, what? I mean, it is pretty. If you'd have said back in 1994, 25 years later, Dustin Rhodes would A, still be wrestling, and B, be in quite a prominent role in that company. Would you believe them?
I was just about to say that, and arguably in better shape.
Yes.
I mean, I remember at the time, I wasn't especially smart, but when I was living through 1999 at the time, I thought, during his last Goldust run, I thought he looked
But I thought he looked finished even then. Obviously, knowing what we now know, we know that he had more than enough issues going on contributing to it. I would never have believed I'd have needed a bit of a nudge if you told me he'd still be walking among us 20 years' time, if I'm honest with you, let alone doing what he is now. And it's huge credit to the man.
He is one of the true success stories in wrestling in terms of that turning your life round point
Without
of view.
A doubt.
I never really appreciated fully how good he was until that match that he had with Orton when he came off the street basically.
Yeah.
And he couldn't even fit into the bodysuit, and he comes out, has an absolutely, that I can tell you just now, spoilers, so, that match is going to be in my top 100.
Sorry to spoil things, boys, but this spot, that with the head in between the two rings, that is unbelievable.
That's how you exact revenge, isn't it?
So what match is going to make your list? The Rhodes Orton match?
Aye, he's come back in 2013.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I know like, the one. Yeah, I remember.
Right? He came back looking like Black Rain, but wrestling like 2019 Dustin Rhodes.
The tag match at Battleground will definitely be making it, and it's just a matter of where I put it. That match is unreal.
Back body drop.
Bit of on convulsing selling, you all love that. Don't let Jenny see that though, him dry humping the ring like that.
Well, I was thinking, well, I wonder what Jenny's thinking now when Arn's head was being rammed between the. no need to complete that sentence. the Rufus-assisted dropkick. Nice word. Dustin Rhodes is a fucking great baby face.
Yes.
Just a genuinely great, come on, you son of a bitch baby face. Genuinely great. Really is. There's the greatest pro wrestler of all time. Not Bunkhouse Buck, by the way.
Nick Patrick.
No, Nick Patrick, obviously. Mr. Pay-Per-View himself. And he's only, at this point, he's only 2 years away from his pay-per-view in-ring debut. How are the crowd at this point? I'm actually just watching this with the closed captioning. They don't look particularly into things at the moment.
Which, considering
who's in there, is a little bit of a disappointment. But given the way the War Games matches build, and you know it's not going to be done for another 20 minutes, I can understand their temperate behaviour.
As good as Dustin and Arn are, the guy that they really want to see still standing on the outside.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think you've got to remember at this point as well, this is sort of a very old school WCW match in terms of there's no Hogan there, there's no Flair. So as Callum alluded to, the guy they're all paid to see hasn't even entered the match yet.
Oh, look at that dude. Look at the snap on that DDT, man.
God, it's the second best DDT in the business.
Go on.
Well, Jake
didn't need
one,
to retire.
Okay.
Barry Windham. There you go. That's one for unpopular opinion. If you haven't seen that. Barry Windham, greatest DDT around. Book it. Send your hate mail to me this time. I'm picking up some of the slack for you there, Ben.
To be fair, you know, I have not had any hate mail. I'm quite disappointed with that.
You need to make your opinions much more unpopular.
Well, clearly.
Mm-hmm. But if what a little bird has told me is coming in your next column, then it might not be accomplished before too long.
It will.
Go on, Terry, son.
You go.
So if Arn didn't have to retire in 1998, or whenever it was...
97?
When? 97?
Yeah,
When do you think he would have given up? Because it looked as if, like, look at this. This is 94. It looks 90. He's probably only about 23.
Enziguri attempt
there. He could have had a hell of a.
I honestly think he was probably going to wind down whatever happened. But
I think so.
You know, as long as Flair was around, he would always have a job, wouldn't he? You know, that's the thing with it. that 97 War Games though is one of those.
Oh, here we go. He's dropped it.
The 97 War Games is a match that genuinely angers me. There's a few out there, but that match in particular is NWO ego at its worst.
Yeah, that's one of those NWO didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
I hate the turn in that one as well. I hate panic turning there. Discussion for another day, but I hate it.
I listened to a podcast about guys going back in a time machine and whatnot.
Yeah.
And
all right, okay.
They were.
Sounds interesting.
They were.
What a concept.
Apoplectic is the only word. I don't even think it was apoplectic. It was just, all right, this again.
Right, there was just no need for it. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you wanted Henning to join the NWO, that could have happened in a couple of months' time. It didn't need to happen there and then.
Plus, somebody did enough all in the NWO anyway.
Let's face it, that whole thing was built up on the on retirement interview and then the parody interview. So, naturally, the baby faces should go over at that point. But egos decided, no, the NWO needs its 28th member, so let's just... let's bring him in.
Yeah, the Horsemen were quite right to, well, attempt to voice their displeasure at that one. Not that they were allowed to get very far.
But at that point as well, the Horsemen weren't exactly, apart from Flair, they weren't exactly greatest stable in the world, because Benoit meant nothing at that stage, really. And Michael, the same. So they really could have done with that fourth member who had that star power, whoever it was.
It's the bloom was coming off the rose fast at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Although the alarm bells were loud, but people turned a blind ear.
The Horsemen, when it was Flair, Malenko, Benoit, I want to say Mongo was still in it at that point, maybe?
Early 99.
Yeah, that was a half decent one, because you've got guys like Benoit and Malenko who could have a great match for the proverbial broomstick. Mongo just been like insane.
Yeah, baby.
I think it's that thing with the Horsemen, but from what I've seen of them, they sort of decompartmentalized themselves. So you had the main event player, you had the upper mid-corner, and then you have the other two guys who were basically a tag team. And that's when it worked at its best. Now, 97, 98, 99, they never had that with Mongo. Never had that star power.
Wasn't the story that Flair actually legitimately requested Mongo?
I could believe that, because, Flair likes a party, doesn't he? So I could believe that.
Yeah, fair enough.
I could believe that. The greatest Horseman incarnation that never happened that could have happened, I'll always say, was 93. It should have been Flair on and the Hollywood Blondes. That was perfect. Ooh. Horseman.
Are you telling me that Paul Roma was not a good choice? with a straight face, are you telling me that Paul Roma wasn't the best choice they had at that point?
The issue again there, though, with Roma, well, the mate, there was two. One, it was Paul Roma, but the other issue was it's three Horsemen. That doesn't work.
Fair enough. True enough.
At least if you brought, say, Roma and Hercules in, we know they've got chemistry.
They had a great finisher.
Jim Powers was on the roster at that point. Well, they could have had the Young Italians come back.
Exactly.
There's the Jim Powers name drop. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, some Jim Powers or Joe Gomez name drops will be
happening. Oh, God, the favourites now. Taking back to the dark days of summer 96. Terry Funk is going to bring it.
Funk is just going postal. Funk is going postal here. Let's go back to the match. Funk is going.
No. Just Terry Funk going postal is fine by me.
Okay. Yeah.
He just lives it. Jim Powers reference before a Prince Andrew reference. although I've just seen on the television a picture of Prince Andrew with flashing images next to it, so.
No, take
from that what you will.
No. Don't make me use my cut button more than I need to.
That's going to have to stay.
Have you seen he wants to do his second interview?
Because one car crash wasn't enough. He's like, yeah, Richard Hammond. I didn't have a high-speed car crash like enough. I'm going to have another one.
I read today he wants to do a second interview basically to say all the things he didn't get to say in the first interview. It's like, but that's one of the main reasons you're in this shit now is because of what you said.
I couldn't possibly be her. I was down Witherspoon's having a pint that day.
You didn't make it to Pizza Express?
We've got Witherspoon's. Where's it going to be next? Nero. I want Spa to get a name checked in there at some point.
I can see Prince Andrew liking a Nando's.
What pound stretcher?
He is very cheeky after them.
I'd tread carefully, McDougal, would be my advice. Oh, don't be scared. Don't be scared, Mr. Parker, sir. You'll be fine in there. It's whether we will see how scared he gets in a few minutes' time. Is that not right, Wikipedia? We're all going to be watching for that now, aren't we? Oh, Terry Funk with a pole, and he falls through. Of course,
that is just great. That is just great character work, isn't it? To fall through that gap.
Oh, Terry. Never leave us, my friend. I'm going to say it again. You live it like you love it. That man is pro wrestling right there.
94 WCW really is chicken soup for the soul. It's so good. So good.
That's tremendous. It genuinely is. We're still okay at this point.
You don't get 4 to 5 star matches every show, but everything is sort of in that 2.5 to 3. You know, everything's watchable. But it's just
eminently watchable. I agree. You could put them on. It's 2 hours 45, fly by in no time.
Yeah, it's just the bare minimum of shit. And it's just, it's so good.
The nasty boys are just plain nasty.
You look at everybody always talks about the talent of the 90s. So you've got these guys here, but you've got, you know, Flair, Steamboat. Obviously, Steamboat's an engineer, but 94. So you're talking Steamboat, Austin, Hogan. I'm missing somebody. Rude. Just the absolute... Cactus Jack Sullivan. The talent they had was unreal. Absolutely. Sting. Sorry, Sting. I totally forgot. Blanked on Sting.
So here's the rest of the card then for this show. So before you had Johnny B. Badd beat Steve Regal for the TV title.
Yeah, Regal. Yeah. How brilliant was Regal?
Kevin Sullivan versus Cactus Jack.
Yeah, that was Jack's last night on the.
Jim Duggan beat a guy called Steve Austin in 35 seconds.
Yeah, go spin on.
What happened to him? What happened to him?
Orndorff and my good friend Paul Roma beat the Patriot and Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
Stars and Stripes, baby.
Exactly. Forever. Triangle elimination match. Vader, Sting and the Guardian Angel.
That's a good one.
I forgot about the Guardian Angel. Yeah, he was...
Yeah. And then you get this match as the main.
Hogan basically had the sweetest deal where he could take basically every other show off. It was some good going. That contract's amazing.
But as you're saying, you don't have Hogan, you don't have Flair. Like there's the guys that are off the show are just as big as the guys that are on.
Yeah.
He's scared. He can't even move. Oh, indeed, a certain part of him might be moving right now.
Yeah, because like Callum says, like Johnny B. Badd in 94 was basically like on a tear. He was just opening every pay-per-view up. And when you talk about Mark Merrill like that, you're like, this guy was amazing just 4 years before.
But his earlier on as Mark Merrill was quite good as well when he was...
Mark
Merrill. Until he got the big injury. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I hate to be that guy, but I've just noticed the colour of trousers that the Colonel is wearing.
Oh, have you got a slight tinge to the white? Is that what you're
not as yet, but I don't think it's going to be too difficult to spot should it arrive. He really didn't think about that one, did he?
It's either It's either really, really hot in that thing, or that is a fantastic character work to get yourself all hot and bothered
And to go back to what Tony Schiavone says, those trousers are particularly tight, so you're not really you're getting a full view, if you know what I mean.
Well, if what we've heard is to be believed, then Parker doesn't have much choice but to wear tight trousers. Hey.
What a terrible problem to have.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that issue. Oh, yeah.
So he's giving it some with the old strap there. And Sags go kicking. Terry's sounding like he's the greatest human being on earth. Oh, he is. That'll be why then. Good stuff.
Terry Funk, Arn Anderson, Bunkhouse Buck. One of these men are not like the other.
There's a marked drop off at some point, isn't there?
I mean, this as well, you could obviously, with Hogan around, there was a total lack of blood, which these eight guys it should have been a total bloodbath.
Yeah, this match didn't need it. It was asking, I don't think many of them would need a second invitation if it was available, but doesn't work for me, brother.
I'm not one of those guys who needs blood all the time.
But no, not at all. Me neither.
If ever eight guys were going to do it, these were the eight guys.
This match just lends itself to blood, let's be honest.
Yes.
Look at what Dustin did at Double or Nothing. At one point, I was genuinely fearing for the man's life. He lost that much blood.
Here we go.
Bionic elbows for everybody.
And the thing about Dustin was just hitting bionic elbow, and you fucking believe it. You know, you believe it, because his charisma carries the day.
I mean, how old is he at this stage? Without bringing it up, what were we saying, about 55, something like that?
No, I think he's not that old. Hang on.
How old was he when he passed away? That was about 2015, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was past 2015. He was 69, I believe. So he's, if that's
48,
correct.
He's... 48, wouldn't he, would be here. That makes...
Born in 1945.
So he's 48, 49 at this point.
I mean, it's like I say earlier, he just knows it, doesn't he? He just gets it.
They always talk about these guys that don't have the it factor. They just...
Yeah.
Like, you can't teach it. Like, Dusty Rhodes, look at... He's got something about him that you just can't teach.
The corner prize, you either got it or you ain't.
Absolutely.
And boy, has he ever got it, and more besides. Okay, this one's completely breaking down now, and I love it.
I think this is this the submission here? Because
everybody's in now.
Turn him round. See if he shits himself.
That's basically all we're watching. That's what we're providing you with, guys. That's the content we're providing.
Oh, hang on to it now.
Oh, I missed it.
Did I see it there? I ain't rewinding back to find out, but I think I
might. They very quickly went back into the other ring to celebrate.
Get away from the smell.
Oh, here we go.
Gary Lineker.
No.
It's the Republic of Ireland, isn't
it? Oh.
Is that the match? Is the match?
It was in the World Cup. It was in that World Cup.
Yeah, it was in Italia 90. It was in Republic of Ireland, yeah. Run for your life, says the closed caption. I would say that's rather sound advice.
Do you know what, guys? He might. There might be a small spot there.
Everybody, zoom in quick.
I think Meng's doing him a favour at this point, judging by his body position. I'm sure Meng's seen far worse.
If you get a weak stomach, one of them has.
I think, hang on, isn't that the line? Isn't that the line? Not because he's the one who said that, the weak stomach. Isn't he actually drawing attention to what we think he is there? Haven't I heard that somewhere before?
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah, there we go. This is highbrow discussion stuff. This is everybody, you know.
Oh yeah, this is what we're going to be giving you as someone shit their pants. That's exactly the kind of content we're going for.
So up after December to dismember the WrestleMania 12 main event or 13 main event. Your Sid shits himself. We'll find the one where Andre the Giant voids his bills on Bad News Brown.
Bunkhouse Buck's face there speaks volumes, I think. He was scrunching it up there.
But Terry Funk will go nowhere near. He's staying on the outside there. He just...
Is he pointing out that he's actually shadowing the mat?
Don't let the camera know to look at it.
That poor cameraman's like, I'm staying right here.
I know. The cameraman is right between his legs just in case. Oh, boys, this is deteriorated.
Well, Arne just asked, get somebody out here. Is he referring to the nightmare?
Medic!
Where's T.L. Hopper?
Even though I pretty much missed it at the time, that was an emphatic finish, I must say.
Just elbows.
Yeah, it's a great finish, actually. Unless he's got the leg lock on him and the two big fellas just pound him down. Yeah, I'm having some that of that.
If those two guys elbow drop me, I'd probably shit myself as well.
Oh, yeah.
I always love that with War Games, where you have like the double, triple team submission move, and you know, it's just out of the ordinary. Or it should be. I'll rephrase that. It should be.
But how long was that match, by the way, gents? Was it about a cool 20?
Here we go.
I think it was just slight. I think it was longer.
It flew by.
Well, it's 2:41 on the time. What time did we start? 2:07. It's 2:41.
Well, we had a lot of build-up before as well.
34 minutes, but we had all the build-up. So, yeah, I would say the actual match was about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Crowd emptying out already. They know they're seeing nothing else tonight.
Yeah, crowd going very, very quickly there. I thought that was a worthy main event, all told, you know, that one. It's been a while since I saw this one. I think I enjoyed it a bit more this time.
I've never seen it before, so that was pleasant for viewing.
It's just eight guys who know exactly what they're doing, isn't it? And, you know, it's so nice to see that. They know exactly what their role is. I'm not going to say know the role, but they know exactly what they're doing. And they just played it off to a T.
I mean, War Games is a fairly easy match to book, but you still got to do it. And I think they did here. So, thumbs up. It's certainly better than the previous
95,
year.
We're looking at you when we say that.
93 and 95, yeah. No, fuck 95.
It's eight guys that know what they're good at as well. So the Nasty Boys aren't going to go out and do chain wrestling. They know that they're good at beating the absolute shit out of people. That's what they're going to go and do.
Dusty's a 50-year-old man who doesn't go in the ring very often, but he can still throw an elbow.
Throws an elbow and the crowd's like putty in his hands.
You've got Arn, you know, the ring general in Arn. You've got Dustin, at that stage, even though he's a young guy, he still knows what he's doing. You've got the crazy old man in Funk. Bunkhouse Buck is pretty damn crazy as well. It just works.
I really enjoyed that. What are you thinking there, Tony, son? You're looking a bit distant, my boy.
Tony's hearing... So Tony's listening to the people backstage.
That's what Tony's face looks like when he has to listen to JR every week now.
Now, is that true?
Is it a case of... Is it what he's like when he is at Jenny's, like, just around the corner from him and he's got to go away to somewhere else?
Mr. Shivani, your stalker's back.
Poor Jenny.
Sorry, Jenny.
We love you, Jenny. We do.
Jenny's one of the reasons why we're actually doing this just now.
She was one of the four. She was one of the four.
Yes. She is
one of the people to thank or blame, delete as appropriate.
I'm pretty sure it's just 5 minutes of talking now.
I think so.
That's fine.
Mean Gene will plug the hotline. That's
if you want to find out if Colonel Robert Parker shit himself, 1-800-909-9900.
Parents, get your permission, but make sure you call the hotline. I still love that as a warning. It was like, you know, check with your parents, but call anyway, guys. Anytime. No problem. No problems.
Check with your parents after. Ask for forgiveness, not for permission.
They've clearly finished early here and they are filming for time. Bit of a common malaise with WCW pay-per-views, if my memory serves correct. We have a lot of something.
Here we go with a bit of Sting. That's the masked man with Sting. That dastardly masked man.
I was just about to say that Guardian Angel looks a bit different. It's not him.
He's butchering that friendship with Sting now.
Well done.
Ooh, that's a tease.
Vader feeling very sexy tonight.
Yeah, we're still watching WCW become that WCW at this point.
Yeah. This is Halloween Havoc with like the last two throws of the WCW I remembered and I quite liked. until the NWO came along.
Enjoy it while you can.
And this is the credits. I think we are out, gentlemen.
Yes, I think that's us. I'm not gonna lie, I fair enjoyed that match. That was good choice, Mr.
I repeat, worthy mate.
Thank you.
That was a good choice, Ben.
Next month, not so much, but this month, I'll take the credit.
I was going to say, next time, not so much.
Beginner's luck, I think this one was. As I look at the credits, as we all do. Woody Kearse, that's a name. Bob Breeze Bresler.
Must be some absolutely fantastic ones coming up. FLA Productions, whoever called them.
Donnie Carroll.
Yes, Moses Ed Williams. Rigger. I love it.
That's a good name.
Doug Dillinger gets himself on the credits.
Oh, of course he does. Catering. I love that catering gets a fucking mention.
Genie. Jim Barnett, my boy.
My boy.
Why did you make that noise after I said Jim Barnett?
There you go. I think we are finally out.
In Havoc, October 23rd, Sunday, 7 PM.
I'll see you back on October 23rd, then, gentlemen.
We will see about that. So, everybody.
That'll be our 1 year anniversary. Let's be positive. close to.
It's very ambitious that we're going to get to a year, sir.
Well, you know, I'm optimistic.
You might not get to episode 2.
I didn't think while we get to the end of episode 1, so little acorns, everybody. Little acorns.
Baby steps, boys. Baby steps.
Oh, well. Shall we call it a night there, then, gents?
I think we should.
Yes, in other words.
Oh, well, we've given you a preview of what's happening, what may be to come. As a great man once said, thanks you all for coming out. Hope we passed the audition.
Hey.
So have you got you boys got anything to plug? I think we know, but feel free.
Hopefully there will be a new and popular opinions column coming. I've got a bit of writer's block at the moment, but we're getting through it. So it's definitely on its way, and as was sort of mentioned, it's going to centre around 1994, but with the WWF instead of WCW. There's my little preview. Over to you, Rory.
Two things. So, you know the Wrestling 20 Years Ago podcast, everybody?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Oh, what's that?
Well, it's a podcast which I'm involved in. What we do, you know it all now. But do please check us out, everybody. www.wrestling20yrs.com is the place to go. Find us on Twitter, all the usual places. If you listen to podcasts, you can find us on there. Easy to search. Please do listen and drop us a line as well. And another thing you might well have heard me say during the Fall Brawl 94 commentary there, I uttered the phrase, turn a blind ear. I just want to say that is not a British phrase. That was just me fucking up. Good night, everybody.
Oh, and I've got one more thing I need to say. Tim Capel, you really are a fucking ledge. Thank you.
There
good
we
night.
Go. We'll know when this one drops because you'll hear Tim from over here. Yeah. Well, thanks very much, guys. It's been a pleasure. We should do it again sometime. Hopefully we'll get a chance to.
Hopefully, as you say, hopefully we've passed the audition.
Yeah. Well, I've got nothing else to plug other than this. Hope you've enjoyed it. From my good friend Ben, my good friend Rory. I have been Callum. See you next time.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank. When the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies stank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh yeah. I was puzzling you with the nature of my game. Oh yeah. Watch with glee while you kings and queens fought for 10 decades for the gods they made.
Watson! Tiara Gray!